are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now we get into our last installment in this conversation on mindfulness and meditation from a Christian perspective. And today we're focusing on transforming our daily lives. Pastor Oscar Lumanisha joins us for one more session as we speak on this very interesting subject. My pastor, good morning. Welcome once again to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning. Thank you, madam. And how have you been?
Very well. Thank you so much, Pastor. And thank you for joining us one more time for this interesting conversation that we're having on mindfulness, which is not just for special moments, as we've come to understand over the last few sessions that we've had together. It's a way for us to bring God's presence into every part of our lives, whether we're working or spending time with family or even resting. Mindfulness helps us to stay aware of the love of God and His purpose. And so in today's conversation, we're going to discuss how Christian mindfulness can transform ordinary routines into opportunities for spiritual growth. Now, Pastor, how can mindfulness help us to experience God's presence, especially in our day-to-day activities?
Thank you so much. Mindfulness can help you experience God's presence in everyday activities in several ways. Mm-hmm. And I want to share some of those several ways that can help you have that experience with God in your daily activities. Mindfulness can help you pay attention. Mm-hmm. When we say paying attention, we mean having an intentional focus. Mm. It can help you have an intentional focus in your life. And in this case, we are saying you be taught to focus on the present moment and letting all the distractions, worries about the past or future out of you. There are people who live in the present. Mm-hmm. You see, you are living in 2025, but your mindset is 2000. Mm. Okay, there are people who always complain to you, madam, mm-hmm. about what happened to them in 2010. And they show to you that they are still very affected with that thing, such that they are just pushing their life, even to survive. Mm. So mindfulness will help you experience God's presence, because it will make you have an intentional focus. You are not going to be a person who focuses on the problem. Instead, you focus on what God can do Amen. In your life. Mm. And this is the reason why Psalms 46, which we have been quoting this verse almost in every presentation, 46 verse 10, the book of Psalms, where it says, "Be still and know that I am God." So for God to say this, He knows you are worrying, you are wondering about the past. Mm. And so He says, stop. Okay, pay attention. Have an intentional focus on the things that are happening in the present rather than focusing on the past. Mm. Or even there are people who get worried over the future. I remember Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, He said, when you begin from 25, don't worry what you eat tomorrow, what you shall dress. There are people who are worried what tomorrow will be. Mm. And Jesus said, just worry for the day that you have woken up, because each day comes with its own responsibility and pressure. So you can't be worrying for the future. Neither you worry for the past. No. Okay? Mm-hmm. So it makes you be intentional. The other point is it helps you notice God's presence. Okay, mm-hmm. By paying attention to your thoughts, emotions, and physical sensations, you can become more aware of God's presence in your daily life. Mm. So when you begin to practice mindfulness, the result will be God's presence in your life. And this is well defended by the book of Psalms 139, verse 7 to 12. Where the Bible says, where can I go from your spirit? Hey. Where can I flee from your presence? So when you look at this, you have seen all what you are going through. You have looked at how the emotions are misleading you astray. And you have you come composed. You have heard all the physical sensations about your life and other things, but you just say, Lord, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I free from your presence? I can't go anywhere. You are the only one. You see, like Peter, Jesus asked in the book of John chapter 6, you read from verse 60 to 70. He says, when I chose you, one was the devil. And you want to learn away. They have learned away from me. Do you want also to learn away from me? And Jesus says, no, nowhere, Jesus. We can't go anywhere because you are the only one who has eternal life. What is the thing is, we can't learn away from this fact. We can't learn away from God's presence. We have noticed it here. Though things are hard in the wireless, we are standing in the presence of God. But we can't go nowhere, Jesus. Because you are the one who has eternal life.
Amen.
And so this is what mindfulness can do. It can also cultivate awareness. This is where a human being begins to recognize God's gifts. And this is one of the most neglected things in most of our lives. We forget, or we tend to forget God's gifts. And what am I talking about? Mindfulness will help you appreciate the small gifts and blessings in life, okay? Mm-hmm. Such as a beautiful sunset. Okay,
yeah.
You appreciate the sunset. When you look at the sun, others are in the grave, and you are able to see the sun. Okay, so in mindfulness, you appreciate the gifts that God can do. Though they may look small, but they are what? They are just more important too. You appreciate a good cup of tea and to have some supportive friends.
Yeah.
Okay, no wonder the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In all circumstances, give what?
Give thanks.
Give thanks. Okay, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So whatever is happening, I know I have normally come up with a slogan, which I say, no one, anything that is happening in my life is not an accident.
Yeah.
It's just an accident to me, but to God it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has a history, he has a plan that he wrote.
Yeah.
And so all I need to do is give thanks to God. I want to tell you one thing. There was a time when I had some financial issues, and I went into I got employed. The job I was employed, I was already a pastor, but I was not even where to work from. So now there is no food, home, and how do I survive? I prayed, and you know what God did? He gave me a job. And what was that job? I was loading sugar in trucks.
Okay.
And you see, people, they know this is a past, and now you are loading sugar in the trucks,
right,
and in wagon for goose train. Just look at that. It doesn't look good. It looks like your God has just betrayed
you.
Okay? But here the Bible says, in all circumstances, give thanks, because that is God's will. And when I was now given a place where to operate as a district pastor now, when I was saying bye to the group I was working with, I told them, where I am going to work, I'll manage. Because if I manage to road the trucks, then I cannot manage to minister to the people. And this was the last assignment on God's plan to do. If I failed, I would have not gotten what I've gotten. So it was God's will that I should go through that route so that his will can be what? Can be accomplished. So the other point is, in mindfulness, we discern God's guidance. By being more aware of your thoughts and emotions, you can become better in discerning God's guidance and wisdom in your decision making. So you can make decisions well when you are in mindfulness. I remember one of my professors by the name of Dr. Padon Mwanza. He used to tell us, Serumanisha, you need to learn more in quietness. Okay, you should learn more in quietness. Don't talk sometimes. Just keep quiet and think about what is happening. You will find good answers and you will make good decision in that, rather than just going out there and start talking about the issues. So we need to discern God's presence and guidance when we are in mindfulness. The other one is that it deepens connection. This is a practice. This is a practical gratitude. Okay, where mindfulness can encourage you to cultivate gratitude for God's presence and blessings in your heart, in your life. In Psalms 100, verse 4 to 5, the Bible says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endureth forever."
Amen.
His faithfulness continues through all generations. So there's no reason some people, yes, have tended to say, no, me, God, and what, but his love and his mercy endures forever, for all generations.
Mm.
And sometimes we tend, when we become Christians, and then we cannot suffer, we cannot go through a problem. No, it's a part of test. And that's the reason why we are learning that we should do. Also find ourselves in mindfulness, practice mindfulness, so that we can learn more from Christ and from God himself. Then it also helps us experience God's peace. Mm-hmm. By being more mindful and present, you can experience God's peace and presence in the midst of chaos and uncertainty. So I want to end with the book of, on this point, on the book of Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7, which says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." Most of us, we talk too much than listening. And it's what makes us feel to hear when God is saying, God may answer your prayers, but if you didn't listen, you will live like someone whose prayers not been what answered. To be mindfulness and get helped on that part where we can learn to hear the voice of God. Thank you, madam.
Amen. Amen. Now, Pastor, how does Christian mindfulness impact our relationships with one another?
Christian mindfulness impact our relationship with others in the following ways. One, it increases empathy and compassion. Okay? Remember in the book of James 1, verse 19, James writes to the 12 tribes of Israel. He says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." So, it creates an empathy and compassion with others. So you not speak first, but you listen more and you speak less.
Yep.
And by so doing, we are creating peace with one another.
Amen.
When I talk about the compassionate part, okay, compassionate response has to do with enabling you to respond more compassionately to others rather than reacting impulsively. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, the Bible says, "Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud." So we become compassionate with others in mindfulness.
Yeah.
That's how we are impacted. On the other hand, it improves communication and conflict resolution. So it will help us have a clearer communication with our brothers and sisters, avoiding misunderstandings and conflicts. You can read the book of Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, where the Bible says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." So we are impacted in mindfulness with others, because as you sit down, you are thinking, you begin to have a clear communication with your friend. You are thinking, what can I do that if I answer this friend of mine, he will not get angry. So the book of Proverbs advises us to have a gentle answer. So it impacts or improves communication and conflict resolution. On the conflict resolution part, You can read the book of Mark chapter 5 verse 9, where Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God.
Yep.
So instead of bringing confusion in mindfulness, we are impacted to bring peace.
Beautiful.
So it teaches us to have a peaceful mindset, seeking resolution and reconciliation. It also deepens our connection with the community. Having an authentic relationship is one thing on earth. Most of us, we don't have an authentic relationship
True.
With the community.
True.
So in mindfulness, we learn to become good connectors with our communities based on mutual understanding and respect.
Yeah.
And here the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25, tells us that so that there should be no division in the body, but that each part should have equal concern for each other. You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
So it brings connection with the community around you. And then it also gives a sense of community. Here we are getting the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, where the Bible says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. In short, it brings us in a one community where we treat each other as a brother and a sister. These are some of the few things that I thought I would share with you, madam, and the listeners out there, of how Christian mindfulness can impact our lives,
our relationships with one another. That's beautiful. And as we come to the end of our conversation, and I guess also as a conclusion, wrapping up everything that we've covered throughout this week, could you just speak to us maybe as we conclude about why it's important to invite God into the mundane moments of life? I think that all of us are, you know, we're keen to invite him when something big is about to happen. I'm about to write an exam. I'm going for a job interview.
Yes.
I'm taking a long trip somewhere. You know, I'm going for an operation, things like that. But we also need to be able to invite him into just the simple things. I'm about to go wash the dishes. What should I wear today, Lord? What should I make for dinner? Things like that. How do we invite God into the mundane moments of our lives, and why should we do that? Surely we can handle those things ourselves.
Why we need to do that is because of spiritual growth, point number one.
Okay.
Why we are calling God, because we know he's a creator, he created us, and he owns everything. He has power to control our situation, he has power to heal us from every trouble that we are going through. And so if we are to pull through, we need to have a spiritual relationship with him, which I may term as intimacy with God. So when we invite God in our everyday moment, we deepen our intimacy with him, and helping us develop more personal and relational faith. Okay. Psalms chapter 16, verse 11 says, you make me known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasure at your right at hand. So God is the one who knows what we are going through. Is that's why I mentioned it before, to say it's not an accident to him. And that is the reason why we should involve him in our daily endeavors when things are not okay. The other one is to make spiritual formation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Spiritual formation is incorporating God into daily routine, which helps us shape our character, values, and behavior, conforming to the image of Christ. So we need to call him, because when we form a spiritual formation, a type of a life, which can be well defended in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 29, where the Bible says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. So it makes us get conformed to the image of Christ. In short, all of us, we must come in agreement with what Christ is doing and what he to do and what is happening in our lives. There are other also practical benefits, okay, to why we should engage God in our maintenance of our lives. It also reduces stress and anxiety. Okay, it reduces stress and anxiety, bringing moment of calmness, peace, and clarity, reducing stress and anxiety. It also increases attitude and contentment. In fact, we talked about contentment in one of the topics that we are talking about. So contentment, this is focusing on God's presence in everyday moment, cultivating gratitude and contentment, helping you appreciate the small things in life. And this is where Paul writes to the Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, where it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So we are to include God because we need to thank him for all the circumstances that are going through. So we have a life of gratitude and contentment, even when we are going through a serious trouble that people may not even understand.
Beautiful.
Then the other point is recognize God's omniscience or omnipresent. Okay, recognizing that God is everywhere, and he knows what is happening.
Yeah.
Okay. So that is one of the most important thing why we should do, call on God or involve God in our difficulties.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Pastor. And thank you for the time that you've spent with us throughout this week, for sharing with us the importance of mindfulness and meditation, sharing practical steps of how we can actually do that and implement it in our own lives, and of course, and what benefits we can expect to see as we start to be more mindful in our time with God. Thank you so much for your time, and we pray that you'll have a wonderful Sabbath ahead, and God bless you and your family.
Thank you so much. I'm humbled for the pleasure that you gave me also to have this presentation with you. Amen. May God bless you and bless your families.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor.
You're welcome.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.